producing statements for them. So it's a business application. And so
you're probably faster than Salesforce.
Well,
it's slower. Could you?
The idea is, or that we suggest at some point, is either put it in Salesforce or put it in PeopleSoft.
Oh gosh.
And
none of the solutions, basically.
Well, none of those.
And all of their rate limited as well, and they want to have license for any screen.
Yeah.
What's happening at the moment in case, you know? They bought Salesforce, and then they built everything outside of Salesforce because the licenses for each of the things that they want to build are too expensive in Salesforce.
Fucking hell.
I told them how many bloody years ago when they first mentioned Salesforce and putting all the subscription data in Salesforce, I said that was going to be bloody expensive. And it seems like that was decided as a solution because they'd got Salesforce. That's like saying, I've got a screwdriver, let me bang that.
But Salesforce are like the Borg.
It's like SAP.
So the minute you bring those guys...
Both of them are like cancer. You start with something little, and it takes over the whole e-commerce.
Salesforce want to do... They tell you they can do everything for you.
Adobe does the same.
And then you're screwed.
I've done 8 years at Arm.
With all-purpose crew Salesforce.
Don't worry about that. We can do that. So you lose all
control. I need to go to the loo.
So you lose all control.
Is there do they have a toilet in the Henry's?
Yes.
Good. Well, then I can take the dog with me inside.
Do you want me to lead you to it?
It'd be nice. You can
mind. Yeah, of course you can.
Yeah, follow me. Yeah.
And then probably you have to go with around the block with the
this way.
Come my follow me if it's too busy. I leave my bags there as well, Mike.
That's charged. Put this away now. Landed on my foot.
Fuck.
And then you doubled down on that.
Yeah, I know. Because I was cocky. Let's get this stowed away.
Yeah.
Oh, I wondered where that was. Right, okay.
That was the most excitement I've had in ages.
Again and almost again.
A near laptop there.
Last thing, we ended up buying Heidi like a little, a small MacBook Pro, because she always uses mine, and that shit you just witnessed happens generally 3 or 4 times a night. So I went, listen, you need your own little computer.
Hardened.
She was really pissed, that girl, wasn't she?
Yeah, but it was almost like she hadn't been at the start of that last class either. She was kind of rational till then. And then she looked upset for a minute before she'd got the text. She looked put out, miserable or something. I think there was a looking at the time thing and thinking, shit, I'm late. And then there was a text from the boyfriend. And then she looked miserable as sin.
And then she left.
And then she left.
Well, you know, I think she encountered, what happened was...
I don't think she'd spoken to anybody other than her boyfriend.
No.
And the woman at the paper shop.
No, so when Arta turned up, she was already on this table. And I said, can I sit here? And she got into conversation with him. And then we turned up. And we're quite amiable, affable people, I think, generally.
I don't talk to anyone. I've spent whole nights in the pub talking to people that I detest. But they join the group, therefore, and talk about, you know, there's usually some shit that somebody's got in common with me somewhere along the line.
You know, and the clique thing is, like, you know, there are certain people with the economists you come out and you think, you only want to talk to economist people, you're in your little thing. We're not like that, I don't think. Sometimes it's nice to just see someone that is not from your immediate.
That'd be quite... tomorrow night I'm going out with Lauren from HR,
right.
And Harlene, and we're meeting up with Danielle, and do you remember Dan, gamer?
Yes, ads guy who's now working at, he's got a pretty high power job now at somewhere.
He's hoping.
Hardcore gamer.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, but one of the things that shows is that, you know, well, it's the same with you. It's that you can find people that are friends where you work, but that's only, might only be if you're a smoker. But there's certainly that sort of conversational thing where, sounds like hell where she is.
I can't imagine that, because I wouldn't tolerate it.
No, I'd have left by now.
Sometimes it's easy to say that, like if you're new and whatever and this is your job, but some people just don't realise that that's not normal. No matter how much you want that life, like what is that life? If you can't trust, it's not even that, not talking, it's not being able to trust the people you work with, because those...
It's not having interactions with them at all, So something I brought in at Arm was we were on a big project, and what they were going to do was sort of apportion bits of the knowledge to the different people.
Okay.
And I said, well, no, let everybody see the whole process, because then they can see where their bit of it adds value somewhere along the lines.
They get the big picture.
If they only have this little thing, they are just doing this little thing and it appears meaningless without the context of the whole bloody thing. And it sounds like she just gets told to do shit and that's the shit you do.
Whereas The Economist is quite sloppy, but because it's so informal and you can poke your nose in generally, you can get the big picture quite easily, or some of it.
Well, I was speaking to Mustafa earlier when he asked, how long's this gig with SOFOR? I said, well, it's actually 3 months. And he went, that's a shame, that they're looking for somebody, and they need to now, and I was the first person to come to mind. I'm never going to get out of this place.
And they don't need them now. They don't need them now. That thing will still be available at the end.
It'll still be there.
Because the way, how slowly shit works at The Economist. It's hardly ever urgent.
They'll have gone through 17 sets of interviews. They'll have lost their headcount once and then had to apply to get the headcount back.
Do you know what I mean?
Just about by the time I'll be free to do it.
And it's incestuous in a way. Like that whole thing with Brinkat. Oh, you're expensive. Oh, you available? What the fuck? And I was like, direct.
When you're already there, it's easy to get rid of you.
Yeah.
Because if you're not there, they can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Yo.
But hey. So it makes it easier to bring you back.
I think it brought me back to the right place. I think.
Yeah, man. He hasn't fucked you about tonight so far.
Okay.
It's a long way to go yet, though.
Come in. Hop up. Good boy.
But that was the thing with Brinkat, like on the team I'm on now. It was a very different negotiation because I said, well, I am available, this is my day rate. Because he gave me a day rate that was like almost the same as the one before. I said, listen, you're about to hire me directly. So there's no cut, this is the day rate. And then 10 minutes later he went, all right, and that was it. It's the boomerang effect, isn't it? So they know me, they know what I can do, what's so there's less risk.
It's coming back to me now.
Even hesitate before he laughed.
Yes,
I think it was a courtesy laugh. It was a courtesy laugh.
Yeah, Sandeep, Mike Lopez.
Yeah, all coming back.
Yeah.
You know.
I just never leave. It's not quite the same.
No.
It's just better to rotate, isn't it? Which well, I'm asking for more developers to do. Rotating.
I've been leaving since January 2015. Which
you
is
tried
crazy.
To leave.
I've had permanent jobs for less time that I've been very engaged with than just the temporary part of my current role.
So I went on to that team and Angelo said, right, you're a core reviewer. I went, what do you mean? He goes, you're a core reviewer. And they were desperate. They knew Umberto, right, to do core reviews. And I said, well, bear in mind Yasmin and Ellis have been on the project for a year. You can make me a core reviewer. But you don't understand that, yes, I can review it from a code perspective, but I'm missing context.
Yeah.
So go ahead and do that, but that's, you know, think about those kind of things before you do that. Because what you're saying to them is, this dude Dave comes in, who's a god, and he comes walking in and blah, blah, blah. He built all the shit on the CP and whatever else. That doesn't mean I'm a better JavaScript developer, yeah, than they are. But it was that. It was like, oh, make sure he doesn't go, blah, blah, blah. But don't let him work on any shit using his knowledge. He has to work on circulation. But then conversely, if stuff is going wrong that he does know about, then we have to find a way for him to get, oh, my God. You know, that thing. Yeah. So
which is almost the sort of thing where it's close to being a permie because all the historical stuff is done.
Yeah, domain it's knowledge.
It's still there in a sort of legacy kind of way.
So I had McCrae pinging me directly today, going, you remember that iTunes synchronization job you wrote? No, don't lie. And I went, well, yeah, but what? And he goes, oh, it's not working. I went, who else knows about it? He went, well, Klaus has left. It's like, well, yeah, talk to Angelo. Because otherwise, if you open that little floodgate, even a fucking
inch, only a small finger basically pulls you in.
All you get is direct message on Slack for favours.
Yeah.
Which is cool, but it's not the way to grow the thing.
I was at the Cambridge Beer Festival one year, and it was when I was at Arm. So say it was like 4 years after I finished working at the company that did the banking stuff. And there was a girl that the guys that I used to work with introduced me to, and she was working on the same code. And I'd written the whole of this commodity option stuff as its own separate module because they were selling it as a separate thing. And she was asking me questions. It was like, this is 4 years ago. But when she started to explain a bit deeper, it was like, I remember. And all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, but what you need to think about is that it's
all still there, man.
It's all still there somewhere.
Yeah. Nice, I didn't tell
don't want to be phoned by people from work. I'm quite happy to meet them at a pub.
I didn't tell Sean that, but the minute he asked me that question, I cloned the repo that we built, found the line of code within 5 minutes, had the answer to his question, but I didn't tell him the answer. Because I thought, it's not good, because, you know, if basically a system's been left idle for 2 years and no one's picked it up, it's not really my problem, unless someone tells me, it's fucked, it's broken, it's actually broken in production or whatever it is. Because otherwise, that's it. It's like kind of all bets are off then.
Yeah.
I could go back 5 years.
It's the same happened to me when I moved to London. And then almost 10 years after I left my company in Germany, Newswire, where I was doing this robot news kind of for Newswire. So basically based on some stock data, basically creating some textual news, basically based on data. And anybody was pinging me, and they're like, do you still know on which server it was running? And I'm like, after 10 years, like, yeah, it's still running. We would like to change something. Well, you're like, what the fuck? I don't know which server is running. You know, 10 years.
It's like, I was quite happy to conceptually say with this code how I would have approached the problem and the way I think I solved it. I can't tell you the function name, and I can't tell you what
the machine it's on,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was like...
And seriously, if after 10 years it's on the same machine, you need to fucking have a word for yourself.
Yes, exactly. And it was still publishing news, textual news, based on the stock data. And it was like...
Do you know what? It's dangerous. Well, one of my friends, like, the one blip of Permi I had in my career was in Reigate, when we moved to Reigate. And I worked for a SEM company called Jellyfish, who are doing really well now. But I kind of started there in a way. And one of my colleagues, Gavin, he's like, all he wants to do, he's basically as old as me, but really lazy. Mm-hmm. So all he wants to do, he rides mountain bikes and stuff. He went across the whole of France. He just wants to take 6 months off a year. So if we can't do that as a permit, go contract. I can't. Why? My skills are too obtuse or whatever else. So what he thought would be a good tactic in this company when I left was become a local expert in all the legacy systems. So he becomes the guy that is the only guy who knows how this creaky thing works. And I said, do you know what you're doing there? You're painting yourself into a corner, because at one point in your looming future, some smart cunt's going to come into your company and go, we're getting rid of all of that. And then you're unemployable, because what have you done for the last 10 years? You focus on this one. I get it that not everyone moves at that speed, but at least try and keep your skills a little bit sharp so that when that does happen, which it will, you can at least find another job, because that's shit, you know. You can't silo yourself and expect that to last forever, which is what he did.
When I was working for the German newswire, they have like, the reason why I left after 7 years there was, you have a lot of people that have anniversaries of 40 years, and the children are working there now as well, and they went to the canteen while they were, when they got after school, you know. And
which is nice, but
yeah. Here's your gold watch, shackles, yeah. Exactly.
But the problem was wasn't not that. It's not a problem for that. The former chief editors were still coming in with 80 and still writing stuff. And then in tech, it was having the same. So at that time, the news was distributed with a very old system bought from the MI5 called Stratos Continuum. Really bloody system. And there was only one guy knowing all the guts of the Stratos Continuum and its own Strat OS system. And he was coming in with a 75 or 76, okay, retired already, whatever, like the, more than a dozen years ago, okay, was still coming in to do some tuning on the machine. Like, fucking hell. Exactly the opposite, basically. He never retired, but he was still calling them in on contractual basis, which was 70, whatever, 76 at the time.
76?
Yes! I think he died before the machine was ready to retire.
And then they're fucked.
Yeah.
Unless his son came in.
They changed now. But the problem was, well, the German newswire was part of the national catastrophe system, okay? Because the newswire was set up by the English zone, which wasn't based in Hamburg, mm-hmm. basically after the war, to make sure that basically news are always impartial in Germany, and the system that the Brits basically set up in Germany was all newspapers, all radio stations, all TV stations have a stack in the newswire, but they can't have more than 5%. So, right. And you are not allowed, and all the employees are not allowed to be part member of any party. Okay, so basically, you have to sign the contract with, basically, I'm staying neutral, I'm not basically signing up for any party. And that basically was the system. Mm. That's why it was so tight.
Thank you.
To the English system, that's why they were still using this continuum from the NI5. We did have the information officers from the English military and so on. So it was like very funny situation there, basically. And And all the technology was completely outdated.
Mm.
Completely. But the technology department was cool because actually it was not really journalistic. It was, they were basically the old tech department in the north, which were basically the code breakers in Germany.
Mm.
And they just used them and added some editors to it. That was the British idea of...
We need to hash the password. We'll go and enter it in the Enigma machine.
Exactly. Enigma machine exactly and, that.
And tell us what it says and we'll use that.
Exactly. And we use the same hardware as the MI5. What the fuck? Nobody knows Stratus. I was basically cross-compiling glibc for Stratus OS. And I'm like, what the fuck? This is like a completely messed up system. But at least it was controlling distribution of news
and, a long way.
That build of the compiler is kind of stable.
Yeah.
You're not going to get people just adding bits to it.
No, nothing. And it was controlling long wave news distribution. That's why we did have our Scottish guy. He was basically of the British Army. He was information officer in Malta. I still have contact with him. It's quite cool. And he was basically doing the long wave news distribution. And then we had a huge satellite dish. Huge. They had to reinforce the building.
But that's how a lot of that stuff worked then. Just post-war, all the technology sector was ex-code breakers.
Yeah.
Using that tech stack, right?
Yeah.
Cryptographers, radio operators.
Mm. To the light, over of them.
Yep.
Right, I'm just nipping to the loo.
Okay.
Half eight-ish. So
Nine,
okay.
All right. Is that all right?
I finish mine and I'll go home after that.
I love his face. He's like, yeah, whatever, fucking hell. Dave's going to be here at 11 o'clock. I can't.
I still have to finish my presentation for next week.
You what?
I'm talking at the Easy Publish conference.
They have a conference?
Mm-hmm.
The fuck? How many people go to that? Four?
Quite expensive tickets in theory.
Oh, God.
Like 499...
Vendor conferences.
Yeah.
Which are just insanely big sales pitches, right?
Yeah. And people pay for their sales pitches. Mm.
Fucking hell. Mm-hmm. How can they have a conference about it? How long?
2 days.
About what?
If I piss up on the Tuesday, I have my presentation on Wednesday.
That's all right.
Yeah, there we go.
Who cares? That'll be fine. So it's still, I'll tell you what the most intriguing situation to me about the front end team is. I walk through the door and there are three people in there.
Yeah,
that's what I was saying to her, like, you know, you say the economist, you walk into the tower on an average day, you do say, where the fuck is everyone? Not like, if you were looking for the developers.
Yeah.
And the Italians, do you know what I mean? They're not easy to work with.
No, definitely not.
Angelo, Jesus Christ.
He gets me annoyed sometimes.
Day one, day two, Angelo. Day one, happy as fuck. Day two, paranoid as shit. Day three, happy.
He's completely paranoid that anyone speaks to my printer.
Well, yeah.
He tries to control me all the time. And control what I speak.
What is that all about?
No idea.
What's he worried about?
No idea.
He doesn't think he's very good at what he's doing or what?
I have no idea. He wants to control the information flooding.
Yeah.
To the top.
So you go into the tower, and now the team I'm part of, it's very different. So Angelo is there 2 or 3 days a week, maybe. Never smiles. And it's not very open to new ideas.
Yeah.
Despite appearances. And then you've got the engineering team, right? So the engineering team is Umberto, who's really good, I think.
Basically the only one.
Yeah. No, Yasmin's good, but
yeah,
she's...
But still junior.
She is, but she's smart.
He's smart, yeah.
Both of them are. Ellis and Yasmin are smart.
Yeah, I've never worked with Ellis, so I can't...
But they should go somewhere else to work, I think, because... they take direction from Angelo, generally, right?
Yes.
I don't know. It's a bit of a weird thing when you consider they're working on the most visible part of our whole product, and there's a minuscule team. Well, sorry, I'm not including Global Logic in that scenario.
I get confused almost at times about how the hell we manage to produce what we produce at all.
With such a small team.
Well, no, but I'm talking not just that.
Generally.
I'm talking about the print product, everything.
Yeah.
It's quite incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's astounding, and you go...
Well, the thing is, so we're padded out with Global Logic, and so I've worked with a Global Logic team before on the CP, and when I went in, I went, right, so I have a theory about the average Global Logic team. The average Global Logic team is made up of 5 or 6 GL developers, and it's almost to a T, right? So you have 2 or 3 rubbish in, rubbish out guys, so they'll do what they're told to do. You get the really smart one, mm-hmm. and I think that's Matouche in that team.
Yes, it is.
And you get the cocky idiot.
Yeah.
Who rewrites a fucking 3-point story in the middle of a sprint because he thinks it's a good idea. And that's Yaroslav. Yeah. Vahalak. Peter.
Yeah.
Sarcastic. Complained that the tickets weren't sexy enough. And then we gave him a 3-point... a 3-point story. And it transpired halfway through the sprint. He thought, now we need to redo the whole of this. Without telling the team... So when the PR lands, it's like 15-page diff. There wasn't that guy on the CP one. We had rubbish in, rubbish out. It was Matouche, Eric, and then the smart one on the team. You didn't have a smart one on the CP team, did you? Global Logic-wise, you had mainly rubbish in, rubbish out. Hoffman, maybe.
Yeah. But he was a classical Go developer. He became one over time.
He did. So he's probably the best one.
Yeah.
But he still can't really communicate. So he comes on to he joins the web products. Yeah, stand up.
He never tells anything about
Nothing.
The web.
So he said, So today was a good case in point, right? He said, nothing really for me, which is generally what he says. Oh, something happened with the instances last night. I went, can I interrupt? They were upgraded to an R4 large, this is what this means, blah, 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 blah. But he generally, I know he was there and that he was put there, he didn't really want to do that, as a conduit between CP and WP, but he doesn't actually do that job, he just says nothing really.
He doesn't tell anything?
Nothing.
Can you have a stand-up where you go, nothing from me?
He's our chicken.
He's the representative of the content platform in our stand-up.
Ah, okay, so...
So his job is to communicate information, but he doesn't
but
really
But
he do
doesn't
it.
Tell anything about the web...
So apparently
I even attends the demos and doesn't tell anything what happened on the web.
Yeah. So apparently I'm now doing that job, I've been told. So I am now the content.
Are you joining now on the content platform stand up?
No.
Which is not the point, is it?
No, it's not.
How should it work if you don't communicate to us?
Exactly. So I said to Angelo, do you mind if I get on a hangout with Jonas at some point this week? No, I don't care. I said, well, you should care. And let me tell you why I want to talk to Jonas. So I want to give you like a bird's eye view of the last 4 months of CP progress.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what's coming down the pipe,
exactly.
If you want.
And it's a lot.
Not if I want. So that thing doesn't really work because they build our API, we consume it. And it's not about what's going on, it's about how we deal with, how do you become consumer agnostic and how do we become API agnostic? It's that little thing in the middle where you go, it's not about what we know, it's about how we manage it and design things properly. That's the thing that's missing. But it's handled on ad hoc basis. So Vlad comes, nothing from me. I will just simply drink blood and if anyone insults me, I'll drop off the call. It's like that. He's an enigma. And even his emoticon is like a hooded... He uses the arrow character. So his emoticon is a hooded, like a ringwraith character. And that's how he presents himself at the moment. Nothing. Nothing for me. Nothing.
Yeah, right. They're the same. It doesn't tell you us anything what the web is doing.
I know more about it than he does at the moment.
Yeah.
But the two platforms.
Yeah.
So the whole idea of that is, right, what's coming? Boom. Like the